The sermon for today is based on some of the things I read about here in the epistle and also in the gospel reading there. And when you have a title like Deliver Us from Evil, obviously you think, well, he's probably going to talk about the devil or something like that. And I am, actually. I want to talk about his deceptions and things like that, but a lot of other stuff. A great man named C.S. Lewis, and he was asked about the devil. He said, you know, people have two problems with the devil, two. He said, on the one hand, you have a bunch of people who say the devil doesn't even exist, does he? I mean, that was like in the old days. Doesn't exist. Then on the other hand, you have people who say things like, no, he's there and it's like he's behind every tree. And of course, both are wrong, because he does exist, but he's not behind every tree. But thank God Jesus is. He's behind every tree. Do you ever think of that? And he's always there to protect you and comfort you. And he does this all the time. Lord Jesus is here all the time. You notice that in the reading, I always love to focus on this verse 32, where it says, the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them, did you hear the word? What was the word? He gave them permission. Now think about that for a moment. Oftentimes I have people say to me, Pastor, why is the devil doing these things, and why this and that? And of course the answer is, well, Jesus is permitting it. He's permitting a demon to come to you and trick you and do things. And of course you would say, well, why would he do that? Well, that's an important thing to think about, isn't it? Today, we're going to learn why he does that. One of the real reasons, obviously, we know that he has a good thing in mind. He's not trying to hurt you. But very often, it's simply, he wants us to become aware of the invisible. In a little bit, we're going to confess the Nicene Creed. And in that, we're going to say that we believe in all things visible and what? Invisible. So that means that as we confess the Holy Trinity, we say, well, if somebody said, well, where is he? Well, we would say he's right here, right now, but can't see him. He's invisible. And if people were to say, well, what about the devil? And is he? Well, yeah, they're always nearby too, but you just can't see them. And so in 325 AD, those writers got it right, that we believe in things that are invisible. That's why people think we're crazy, by the way. Why they think we're peculiar, because we believe in things you can't see. There's another thing that's invisible, my friends. It's the victory that we have over sin and death and the devil. It's an invisible kind of victory, because the Father sent his Son, and by the power of the Spirit, we are saved. But until that time, when we get there, the time is now for the demons to try to deceive you. I want to tell you my personal stand on this. Here it is. The Bible clearly teaches we are totally safe from demons, completely safe. But they have 1,001 different ways of tricking you and tricking me. And all of us can tell a story about how they did that. And that's the problem I want to focus on. You see, the father of lies, the devil, as I've said before, is the lies and the tricks that get us into trouble. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, if he's all that powerful, what can I do? Well, one of the things you can do is remember your position in Christ. Here it is. When you and I got saved, God did it all by himself. I didn't do anything. However, now that you and I are saved in Jesus, we now cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And I want to make this very clear. I've often said to people when they do something really nice or good for the Lord, I say, wow, that was great, thank you. And they say, no, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And I'm always quick to tell them, time out. It was the Lord. No argument. But I'm thanking you for your cooperation. And the next time somebody tells you, no, it wasn't me, it was the Lord, tell them, yeah, I get it. But I'm thanking you for cooperating with him. Get it clear. Because see, what happens, my friends, is we think, well, if I was passive in my salvation, then I'll just be passive for the rest of my... No, don't do that! It's one of the tricks. I must be a passive Christian. No, you're not. You must be a cooperative Christian. Because if you're a passive Christian, you know what you are? An uncooperative Christian. You don't want to be that, do you? So the key today is this. Because you and I can all tell a story about how uncooperative with the Lord we can be, you know. But I want to give you today some steps that you can take. Real steps that you can take whereby you can work on your cooperation with him. Because, you know, let's be honest, we don't talk about it all that much. So let's talk about steps and ways to cooperate with Lord Jesus. And believe me, when you're doing that, it's for sure you're sending the devil away. And we want that too, don't we? We want to send him away. So think of this. What's the first thing we got to do? You know what we got to do? First thing we got to do is be committed to something that's real and apart from something that is counterfeit. You ever notice how the devil will always try and give you a counterfeit crummy substitute for what you really need in life? You ever notice this? This is why people get into behaviors that they don't want to get into, really, like drugs or booze or pornography or any kind of behavior that you would say, yeah, this is not good for me. Well, the reason people do these things is because the devil is offering a cheap substitute for what they really want. Because all those things really do, you know, when you really think about it, all they do is change how I feel. Those things simply help you and me to feel as though we're okay or that we're comforted in some way. Those things can make us comfortable. You may have noticed when we got here, first thing did my wife do? Did any of you catch it? What did she bring me? Coffee. She knows. He's going to be uncomfortable if he don't get his coffee. So, I mean, you know, this is the way it works, folks. And, you know, I do hope that I'm not being a bad example by being so addicted to coffee, because I confess I am. But you see, those cheap substitutes really get in the way of the comfort that Lord Jesus wants to give you. And this is the real thing we have to make a distinction. Counterfeit or real? Which one do you want? You go for the counterfeit, you will always, always end up, he'll trick you. The devil will trick you. So that's one step you can take. Let me give you another one. Deception versus truth. The best trick the devil has that he can play on you and me is deceiving you. I mean, if he said, hey, I know, let's worship the devil. You would say, what? Well, he's not going to say that. He's going to bring other things for you to worship. He's going to bring other ways for you to feel fulfilled and significant and like you belong. I love Martin Luther. Boy, if you ever read Martin Luther on spiritual warfare, man, he's like the best. This is 500 years ago he wrote this stuff. It's great stuff. But he would say things like, I love my family, and I'm so glad I have a family. But guess what? When I die, none of them will be there. That cuts right to it, doesn't it? Nobody's going to be there. Just God. Therefore, he's my number one. And of course, we all say, well, of course. But how many times do we get sucked in and think, well, but if I do this, I won't be too popular with my family. Or if I do that, my friends might not understand. And then all of a sudden, we're deceived, aren't we? Because he's not the first person I think of when I want to be popular. I'm not even going to talk about social media, so don't worry. I'm not going to do that. You've heard enough of that complaining. But I don't blame people for doing it. Linda and I got off of it some years ago. And I guess the only reason I did is because I couldn't handle the time that it took to stay in touch with everybody. It became an 8-hour job a day, and I didn't have the time. But here's what I've learned. I've had young people come to me. Maybe they're not all that young. Some of them in their 40s. And they'll say, you know, one night I was sitting down, the guy said, this is a true story, the guy said, I was sitting down to eat with my family, and it was the night we were supposed to have hot dogs and beans. And he said, I just turned on my phone and looked at Facebook before, and my friend was in some famous place, and he took a picture of the food, and he said he was in Aruba, and, you know, and I said, oh, he's eating in Aruba, and I'm stuck here eating hot dogs and beans. And I said, what was that like? And he said, you know, I hate to say it, but I wish I wouldn't have checked. And I said, well, if that's what social media is doing, then you should stop. He said, I should, but I'm still hooked on it, you know. And so we feel as though we're pretty significant if we can get some follows and some likes or whatever. But does it really make you more significant than you were before? I mean, really? It doesn't. So you've got to be able to say, what's deceiving me here? You know what makes you significant? The fact that Jesus died for you. That's pretty significant. How about the fact that the Father created you? I mean, you belong to the Father. Jesus shed his blood for you. That means you're pretty significant. And oh, by the way, you want to be fulfilled? You want to be fulfilled? Get this. The guy who invented fulfillment is living inside you right now. The Holy Spirit. But Pastor, I feel so unfulfilled. Hang on. The Holy Spirit. He invented fulfillment. That's a word they stole from us. Oh, but you must be fulfilled. Well, you can't get any more filled. And to be filled with, the Bible says you are filled, get this, without measure. That's how full of the Spirit you are. And here we are chasing nonsense. Let's be clear, okay? There's another thing, like bitterness versus forgiveness. That's an easy one to talk about. I mean, we're not naturally forgiving people, naturally. Now, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm not going to talk about how nice and wonderful it is to be forgiving, because you know that Jesus wasn't very nice and wonderful when he talked about it. He said like this, look, there was a guy, he owed a king $100 million, and the king forgave him, and then he went out and grabbed a guy who owed him 10 bucks and said, give it to me now or I'll throw you in jail. He threw the guy in jail for $10. The king got wind of it, calls him in, and said, what a wicked servant you are. I forgave a $100 million debt, and you had your buddy thrown into prison. Sees him, and they took him away, and he tells him the story. He put him away and had him tortured until he could pay back the last penny. Well, of course, you're never going to pay back that money in prison. And then Jesus says what you and I always want to take out of the Bible. Here it is. Therefore, if you do not forgive, you will not be. So enough nonsense. Let's not do it to be nice. Let's do it because we want to be with Jesus. Period. You know, the more I thought about this, I got to be honest with you. So many people come to me and say, oh, but I have a hard time to forgive and blah, blah, blah. Finally, I say, well, have a good time in hell. I got to go now. Well, I'm not going to go. Yeah, you will. Guaranteed. And I show them. So please hear me today, and I really mean this. I'm not trying to be funny. There could be some soul here today, and I was praying for that soul today, and I don't know who it is. But the Lord said, you better be clear on this one. Please do it. And sometimes people say, yeah, but the person's not living anymore. That's okay. Give Jesus the message, and he'll give them the message, okay? Don't worry about it. But you must wish good for the person. You must do this. Otherwise, your soul is in peril. And I sure wouldn't be a very good friend, would I, if I allowed you to go on in nonsense, in something that could really hurt you. I don't think Seth would want me to do that to you. If there's any, if you can find it anywhere, just get rid of it and say, Lord, I messed up, I'm sorry. I owe you 100 million sins. You're not punishing me. Far be it from me. Say it in your heart today. Be free. And know that nobody can trick you, okay? Bitterness versus forgiveness. That's another step. One more. This is a four-letter word. Here it comes. Rebellion versus submission. Did you get the four-letter word there? Submission. It's a bad word. Did you know that? It's a bad word. Submit. Why should I submit? For what reason? Well, because God says so. That's why. You know, think about this. I have a very good vicar. His name is Lewis King. He's a barber, black guy, and very sharp guy. Grew up on the streets. And he says, Pastor, how are we going to have a good society if men won't submit to the Lord, wives not submitting to their husbands, then the children not going to submit to the parents? And I said, what did you say? It's like he just told me how to understand everything about this country. Everything. One sentence. As much as guys maybe will want to say, well, the women don't listen, but hey, enough of that nonsense. It's up to us guys. If we submit to the Lord, women will have no choice but to submit to their husbands. And if the children see moms submitting to pop, they'll have no choice. They will have no choice. So remember, when children are not submissive as they should be, if they don't obey their parents as they should, and I'm not talking about being a dictator now, I'm just talking about basic respect here. Somewhere along the line, the parents are not submitting. Please get this. We can change our country for the better. We don't have to march. Nobody's going to hit you up for money. You don't have to argue about it because we know it's true. A simple thing. Men, pray with your families. Sit them down and say, okay, maybe I'm not the best prayer that ever lived, and I'm not either. But let's sit down here. Let's start doing this. Man, you'd be amazed. What? You'd just be amazed how the wives and the moms, the little babies, how blessed they'll be. We got to submit. Jesus submitted to his Father. That's why we honor him, because he submitted. Here's another one. Pride versus humility. Now, I was talking to the kids a little bit. Let me talk to the gray hairs a little bit. You know, we gray hairs are a funny bunch, I tell you. Here's why. A lot of times, when we were younger, we were chasing all kinds of things. And then when we get gray hair and stuff, we sort of feel like, well, things ought to be changed for us and people ought to treat a certain way. And I tell you, I hope I didn't get to live for 63, almost 64 years now, so that I could be proud. And I think we gray hairs got to work on this. I mean, I was talking to a guy, and he said to me, he said, well, but you know, I'm 65 years old. And I said, is that why God let you live for 65 years? So you could act improperly? I don't think so. And by the way, if you have gray hair, if you want to do something good for your health, be humble. I'm not making this up. A woman named Kesebeer, you look it up. She wrote a study. She's not a Christian. It's not a Christian study. It's a very academic study. Here's what she said. She said, I wanted to study humility to see, you know, religions talk about it. I mean, what's the big deal? Here's what she found. And she talked to thousands and thousands. She did thousands of surveys. Here's what she found. People who present as with high levels of humility, and here's how she defined humility. Get this. She said humility is characterized by the acceptance of one's life and one's self without the need for comforting illusions. Isn't that a wonderful, perfect definition of humility? So she does all these studies. Guess what she found? People who presented with high levels of humility, guess what? They didn't get as anxious. The fear of death didn't bother them. But when people were very proud and wouldn't let go, they were also more controlling. They were also more difficult to get along with. And here's the other one. They had a higher fear of death. Now, isn't that amazing? When James says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll raise you up. It's almost as if he's saying, hey, work on your humility, and you'll be able to stand up straighter because you'll have better health. That's pretty cool. I mean, think about it. I don't know about you, but I think about health a lot. If you're gray hair, you do. But young people, this is for you too. You never meet a finer thing than a humble boy or girl, ever. We have some beautiful boys live next door to us, don't we? Oh, they're so well-trained and so polite, and their hearts, they cut my lawn for nothing just because they probably see, well, this guy's broken down. He's not able to do anything. I better do it for him. Yeah, they do it just for nothing, just to be kind. Isn't that nice? Man, you don't meet kids like that anymore, do you? But humble people are so kind, and they have this way of attracting. And I know you want to grow as a church. I know you do. This church has always been that way. You guys have always been about the lost. But think, that's how you attract the unbelievers when they say, huh, you guys are actually kind. That's what happened to us. We saw humility in those people 36 years ago. And we weren't very good candidates, as some of you know our story. We were not good candidates to become Christians. But these people were so kind, like you guys. The last one really culminates from all the others. Because, see, what happens is this. If you work on the others, you automatically go from bondage to freedom. Remember what we say. Well, 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins as we did, he forgives. We're free. And see, the guy in the story was funny, if you think about it. He wanted to go with Jesus, remember? When he was cured and the demons left him, he said, oh, I want to go where you go. And Jesus said, no, I got a better idea. Stay here and tell what God has done for you. And, you know, it's the same for you and me. We must tell the people around us what God has done for us in Christ. How he's set us free. How he's taken us from bondage to freedom. And I tell you right now, we are free to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as much as we want to. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. God bless you.